The news at the Dillingham Ranch on Oahu's North Shore is back on the market came as a surprise to many people. Owners Kennedy Wilson bought the 2,740 acres in 2016 for $26 million. The zoning allows for a 70-lot subdivision with a two-acre minimum. Critics worry that the farm dwelling units or gentleman farms are nothing more than fake farms. Now, the sale includes the historic lodge as well as the polo fields across the highway. We took time out earlier this month to visit the Dillingham Ranch, acquired by Patriarch Benjamin Dillingham. It was a fundraiser for a Historic Hawaii Foundation in a nod to Historic Preservation Month.
So these ranches themselves encompass, you know, conservation areas just by virtue of the large swaths of land that they're operated on. And the majority of these owners have been really great about cooperating with local municipalities and state governments to preserve not just, you know, the history of ranching, but a lot of Hawaiian history is encapsulated in these ranches, watersheds, forests, and the like. So preserving it not just for today, but hopefully tomorrow as well.
On hand for that event was a descendant of the Dillingham family. Bill White is a Big Island rancher who operates Halekea Farms in Waimea. He flew over to Oahu for an afternoon that included polo ponies and wild peacocks.
Harold Dillingham would be my grand uncle. He married my grand aunt, Margaret. And they had five boys who were dear friends of my mother because they were contemporaries and first cousins. And some of the kids from those five boys became friends of mine. And Kenny Dillingham, who was the son of, I think, Byer Dillingham, came here and ran the cattle ranch for a number of years. And my memory was coming out here and seeing Kenny and him showing me around the ranch and the ranch operation here. That probably was 35 years ago, maybe 40.
And you came over special from the Big Island for this?
Yeah, just because of our relationship with the Dillingham family, and I thought it would be fun to see. My sister spent more time here. Aunt Margaret invited her over here, and she stayed here for a period of time. And actually, when James Michener was writing the book on Hawaii, he was here. And so, my sister says I was there with Jimmy.
But you don't remember.
But anyway, that's kind of our little story.
And here's Kirsten Faulkner, the director of the Historic Hawaii Foundation, setting the stage of this historic property.
This is the Dillingham Ranch, which has this rich, wonderful history here in Mokulei'ia. And we were just very happy to be able to share some of that with friends and members of Historic Hawaii Foundation, members of the community, to come and learn more about this special place in their own backyard.
I'm listening to the peacocks in the background.
We are hearing peacocks. There are chickens running around. We have this grand alley of trees that line the driveway that comes up to the main house. It's got this grand lodge with a separate kitchen wing, a couple of bedroom wings, and then off to the side is the original house, which is known as the dollhouse. Back behind us are some open fields. We have a wonderful view of the Waianae mountain range, and just up the road is the polo field that Dillingham helped start, and it's just an amazing setting with agriculture, history, culture, architecture, all coming together in one place.
And this is Preservation Month.
May is Historic Preservation Month, and we thought this was a great way to help highlight some of the preservation success stories. So this part of the ranch is designated for preservation. The architecture, the landscape, the archaeological sites, as well as just the overall feel of keeping the country.
Folks don't normally get a chance maybe to come up here, but the current owners have made efforts, I think, to maintain it.
Yes, it's managed as an event center, so it's available for lease and people can come have events here. Our event was done through special arrangement through the owners as a chance to invite community members to come in. Normally, you might come to a wedding here or to a corporate retreat, but it's not normally just open to the public for tours. So this was by special arrangement.
Okay, and so what else does the Historic Hawaii Foundation have going forward?
So this month, as you mentioned, is Historic Preservation Awareness Month, and we are celebrating preservation success stories. So we have our Preservation Honor Awards coming up on May 31st. So that will be a chance to showcase some of the great preservation projects that have occurred over the past year. So that's at the YWCA on May 31st, and there's information at historicy.org. So that's happening. On our website, we have different showcases, little blog posts that tell the stories of different preservation projects. There's one up there right now about restoring the stained glass windows at St. Peter's Episcopal Church. There's another one about the 175th anniversary of Oahu Cemetery, which is this year. So people can check in and learn these little tidbits about history and preservation and culture all month long.
And coincidentally, around that same time, we also talked with Kavika Burgess, former Chief Operations Officer of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs. He also works with the Hawaiian Islands Land Trust and was just named CEO of Kalona Brands Company, a new agricultural venture on Kamehameha School's land on Oahu's North Shore.
You know, one of the ways I've been working to protect, you know, the most significant natural and cultural resources in Hawaii is, number one, through voluntary land conservation programs, and with the Hawaiian Islands Land Trust in particular, currently serving on the board of advisors, where we work with landowners, with communities, to identify and protect, you know, again, the most significant places here in Hawaii containing, you know, our native forests, our historical cultural sites, the places where we can practice and perpetuate our culture. And I think it's a very important program and method for us to be proactive in ensuring that we can protect these remaining places in Hawaii, the places that, you know, provide for the quality of life that we enjoy, the places that contain the essence of Hawaii, you know, the most unique places, the places where our stories and traditions are practiced and perpetuated, and where we can practice our culture.
So are there particular areas that are under threat?
There are, right? So, you know, across the islands, you know, just in general, you know, through urbanization, you know, commercial development, we're developing about 10 to 13 square miles of land per decade. And, you know, we have lost, you know, some of our most significant sites, from our heiau to just storied places to some of our, you know, traditional farmlands, both dry land and wetland systems, other sacred sites. And so, you know, these resources are under constant threat from subdivision, urbanization, development. And so the more we can do to identify these places, to preserve, you know, the knowledge, the stories, the traditions there, and then again to work collaboratively with landowners, with, you know, developers, planners, consultants, and communities to find win-win solutions to protect these places is vitally important.
Are there specific sites, I guess, on the different islands that, you know, you can talk about?
Yeah, I guess so. Just speaking for, like, the Hawaiian Islands Land Trust, one of the things that the organization was able to recently do was do a strategic conservation plan. So actually using GIS mapping to identify, you know, the layers of the natural resources, cultural resources on each island. So to actually map out where, you know, again, the cultural sites are, where the native forests are still intact and remain, where some of the most significant agricultural resources, farms and ranches are, and to develop heat maps to prioritize those areas. So, you know, on each island, particularly in the rural districts, there are still a lot of very special places from our coastlines and our beaches. Again, you know, our sacred sites and storied places, even our, you know, again, our working farms and ranches where, you know, they're under pressure of urbanization, of urban sprawl, kind of subdivision development, but the land trust and communities are working to protect, you know, from coastline areas in particular in Kau on the Big Island and North Kohala. We've been working on several projects to protect the coastlines, you know, Makai of the highway. On Maui, some of the significant taro lands along the windward districts of Maui and the coastlines in Hana. On Oahu, there's a few kind of traditional lo'i and fish ponds remaining on the island that we've been working with. And on Kauai as well, some of the coastlines there. So on each island, we're working with communities and landowners on coastlines, historical cultural sites, and significant, you know, agricultural lands to ensure that they're protected for future generations.
Is there anything that we're working on immediately that might be under threat?
Yeah, well, one project just in particular comes to mind that we've been working on for a little while, the Waikalua fish pond, Waikalua Lokoi'a, right on Oahu in Kaneohe, you know, dates back to around 1600. And Herb Lee and the Pacific American Foundation have been working for, you know, decades now in managing, restoring, protecting, and educating the area youth and families about the significance of the fish pond, doing science and cultural education there. And we've been working with them to actually acquire the fish pond. It has changed ownership, you know, several times while they've remained kind of as the stewards of the fish pond. And so that's one we've been working on, to help them actually acquire the fish pond, and so that they can continue their cultural and educational activities, and the cultural fish pond itself would be protected, you know, into the future.
I think I've been to that one. The efforts of the youth that are out there working on restoring that fish pond is just incredible.
Yeah, it's fantastic. They've been doing a lot of great work over the years, you know, like over 10,000 students and teachers have, you know, contributed, have learned from, benefited from, learned from the fish pond there, you know, and assisted in the stewardship, you know, and lent their mana aloha to the fish pond. And it's definitely a place worth protecting.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The beautiful spot. Anything else you think would be important to underscore as we celebrate Historic Preservation Month and our important sites?
Well, I mean, one of the things we're working on now is, you know, is developing, you know, a regenerative agriculture and food company. And I think being proactive in land uses, sustainable land uses, where we can preserve, protect, and, you know, reutilize where feasible, but celebrate our cultural sites, our historic places, rather than uses that diminish or destroy them, is a much more viable option for us here in Hawaii. So I think being proactive and, you know, working to, again, to restore through, you know, sustainable practices, regenerative agriculture, other uses of these sites and places so that we can perpetuate them for future generations is important.
Okay, and then tell us again the groups that you're associated with.
Kalona Brand Company. So it's a regenerative and vertically integrated ag and food company where we're looking to revitalize sustainable agriculture in Hawaii and develop unique Hawaiian agriculturally based food products, and using that as a method to incorporate the restoration, the protection, the preservation of our lands, of our cultural sites, of our history.
That was Kavika Burgess talking with us about how best to preserve large, important tracts of land through agriculture. You can listen back to this story and view images of Dillingham Ranch today at hawaiipublicradio.org.